Good morning. You can turn to John chapter 8. Freedom. You know, it is July. Freedom. Something we desire. It's something we value. On July 4th in 1776, the Continental Congress signed a declaration. They wanted to be independent. They wanted to be free. But there was still a war to be fought and to be won. Believe or they wouldn't be free. Most of us here today believe we're living in the land of the free. But my question for you this morning is, are you free? Are you free? The prison door might be open, but are there things that are shackling you? Keeping you from living with the liberty that we should have in Jesus Christ. Let's read John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." These Jews were quite intrigued by Jesus, his teachings, and his practices. He taught with authority, and he lived with confidence and with power. He had a relationship with God he referred to as his Father that was unknown to them. He was working alongside of God, and God was with them. You know, generations had passed since Israel had had a prophet. And now, the Lord Jesus is walking among them. And such a prophet he was. And for these law-keeping Jews, he was something new. He was like the new wine, and it wouldn't be contained in those old wineskins. Some of them wanted the same relationship with God that they saw that the Lord Jesus had. They wanted that same settled assurance and peace that came with that relationship. Our text here says that there were Jews that believed him. Well, he's going to give them a measure for their belief. He's going to let them know a way to measure the depth and the quality of their belief. You know, like freedom, belief is something that anyone can say they possess. Anyone can say, "I'm free," or "I believe." But how life-changing is it? Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Jesus would say, you know a tree by its fruit. You know, fruit doesn't come overnight, does it? The fruit is born from abiding in the essence and life of the tree. As the bud abides in the tree, it grows and ripens. So he says here, you need to continue in my word to be a true disciple. I'd ask this morning, are you a true disciple of Jesus? Continuing in his word? If you do, he has a promise in this verse. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's a bold statement, almost incredible. I'm sure Jesus spoke these words with authority, with power. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him in verse 33 and said, what? We are Abraham's descendants. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? You know, some would say the United States is a Christian country, that the founding fathers were Christians, that the laws of this land were forged and influenced by Christian values. But being born or living in the United States, does that make you a Christian? Is being a Jew defined only as being a descendant of Abraham? We in Christ have come to understand that there is a true circumcision. Those who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in the light in Christ Jesus, we put our confidence not in external things, but in him. And Jesus is going to go deeper here with his challenge, are you true disciples? He's going to speak not of an external label, but an inner reality. I ask again, are you free? The Jews here say, we've never been enslaved to anyone. Never. Had they forgotten? 400 years in Egypt? Had they forgotten the captivity in Babylon? We can be pretty selective in our memory and our recall. You know, it's easy to believe a truth in an abstract sense. But when it gets personal, when the bright light of that truth exposes a darkness in us, that's when we hide from it. Perhaps these Jews, because of pride, refused to acknowledge they were once slaves. And so we are so prone to self-deception. We work really hard, don't we, at trying to redefine truth rather than letting it redefine us. We'll continue in his word so far, and then we'll blink and turn back. You know, in the world we see, people fill their lives with amusements to keep them distracted from the truth. Some will binge watch Netflix to the point of exhaustion, just hoping sleep will come. Others will spend endless hours in the virtual world. If that doesn't work, there's always alcohol or marijuana, legalized now. You can have a chemically induced escape from reality and the truth. You know, recently we've had some pride parades, people celebrating liberty. Really? Or are they proclaiming they're enslaved to various carnal passions? I think we would readily acknowledge, outside of Christ, we would be slaves. But in Christ, are you living free? Are you living with the liberty? You know, let's be careful not to say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a descendant of Christians. I've never been enslaved. I hope you're serious about truth this morning. The Word of God can be a sword, can't it? It can cut deep. I appreciated Kim's comments on how the disciplines of the Lord, they're not fun, but necessary. Are you willing to consider an area in your life this morning where you may be enslaved and need to be freed? Let's let the sword of the Word cut deep and divide between soul and spirit and judge the thoughts and intents of our hearts. You know, we won't seek the freedom that Jesus is talking about, the freedom that he's offering, unless we acknowledge we need it. Jesus says in verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Truly, truly, listen to me. Will you please listen to me? Jesus understood sin. As the Son of God, he had witnessed all sin. And he knows that sin brings slavery and it brings death. He himself would bear our sins in his own body, and it cost him his life. Jesus and his Father could witness Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember that day? Recorded in Scripture? Watching from heaven, we could guess what their heart's desire was. Adam, Eve, don't touch that tree. Don't eat its fruits. Don't listen to that serpent. That's Satan. Continue in my word. But Adam and Eve were free to choose. They were free to trust God, abide by his word, or they were free to commit sin. And they sinned. And sin began reigning in their mortal bodies. And it wouldn't be long before Adam and Eve would give birth to a son named Cain, who would kill his own brother Abel. And the voice of Abel's blood would cry out to God from the ground. And Jesus saw it all. When he says those who commit sin become slaves to sin, he knows what he's talking about. And so do we. He says in verse 35, and the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son, he does remain forever. The slave of sin does not remain. Adam and Eve would surely die, and so would all their descendants. You will not remain in this body, this mortal body, forever. You will not be on this planet forever. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son, Jesus, he remains forever. He is the immortal one. Faith in self and confidence you'll regenerate yourself, that has to go. It's only in him we have eternal life. So then, verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. It's a freedom beyond what you can imagine. I ask again, are you free? Are you free indeed? Some of us might acknowledge, well, I do have a little chain. You know, I rarely see it. I'm too busy to look at it. And since others can't see my chain, perhaps it doesn't exist at all. I'm going to turn up the volume a little bit here so we all can hear the clanking of our chain. Can you say you're free if you have insecurities and anxiety and it disturbs your sleep? Are you free? Can you say you're free if you have envy or bitterness, which limits who you want to be with or whom you can talk to? Are you free if you have repeated carnal and base thoughts and the fires of lust and fantasy consume more and more of yourself and your virtues every day? Are you free? Are you free if you have haunted feelings of guilt and worthlessness? So when you look in the mirror, you see someone ugly? Are you free? Are you free to love in all purity? Are you free to smile while looking into the eyes of all, including God? Are you free to be content with what you have? Are you free to rejoice when others are blessed? Are you free to believe God wholly and completely? Are you free to rejoice over every chapter and every verse in God's word? Are they honey to you, food for your soul, and a joy to swallow? This is freedom, isn't it? And only the Son can give it to you. You can turn to Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at an illustration of someone who's in bondage who becomes free. Luke 13, verse 11. There was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. 18 years. That's a long time. She had a spiritual sickness with a physical manifestation. She was bent double. This sickness affected every moment of every day. She could not, the scripture says, straighten up at all. Perhaps it was a blessing. There's no gray here. She knew I'm sick. She knew I'm bent double and I cannot straighten up at all. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." Jesus sees, doesn't he? He knows our condition. And he saw her. You can't hide from him. And he called her over. Why does Jesus ask a woman who's bent double to come to him? Why does he call her? Is it to have her hobble over toward him? You know, many of us, we know Jesus is a life changer. Not just when our day of conversion, he changed our life, but he continues the work that he began that day in us. But we must make a choice. In calling this woman, he gives her an opportunity to make a choice. Our will is a factor in our freedom. She must have turned in trust and moved toward him. And he says to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." This is the Son of God setting someone free. "And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect and began glorifying God. He didn't need to touch her, but he did. And she would remember that day, she who was bound by a spirit, she who went 18 years in that state, is now free. She could stand erect. She could hold her head high. She was free to glorify God. Saints, this is the freedom offered by Jesus Christ. Freedom from the slavery of sin. The offer's there. It's your choice. Let's pray. Father, we don't doubt your Son's ability to change us, to regenerate us, to liberate us, to break our chains. But Lord, even those of us who've bent the knee, have dethroned ourselves, at times still want to take the wheel, still want to have our own aspirations. We look to our own flesh for victory over sin. We need to stop that. We know it's impossible to please you without faith. We know that the flesh accomplishes nothing. Lord, we pray individually and as a church that we would come fully into the light and into the freedom that our Lord Jesus offers us. Lord, we'd be faithful to continue in His Word, no matter what the cost, consecrating ourselves afresh each day and be His true disciples. We would come to know the truth, and that truth would set us free. We pray these things, Lord Jesus, in Your name. Amen.